Hello, Sarp.
So hey, Kenton.
Hey, so I heard you you want to talk about time and gravity.
That's right.
Tell
that's
me
right.
About
that,
it.
What this is almost a sort of a little part-time sort of fascination I have with cosmology and astrophysics. And I'm not an expert in the area, but I do find it immensely fascinating. And you probably come across articles and books and stuff like this yourself, right?
Yeah.
And some of it, I think
scan it sometimes, but like you, and I think more than you, are nowhere near an expert. But I do know, I'm a nosy guy.
Oh, okay. Well, this particular topic is kind of based on what was in Stephen Hawking's Brief History of Time, which is a fairly old book now. It's a thought experiment, and I just wanted to kind of go through it because I don't tire of telling this one. I just find it fascinating. And so why don't I give it a go, see if I can explain this one. It goes something like this. It's basically saying if you are an astronaut who was approaching the event horizon of a black hole. So there you go. Couldn't get any more exciting than that.
Right.
And the basic thought experiment part of it is, imagine that you're an observer on the Earth, and you have this telescope. And with this telescope, you can actually see this astronaut who's, you know, floating towards oblivion, basically. And your telescope is so good, you can actually see his watch. And then you can see the second hand on his watch ticking around. And what Stephen Hawking asks is, he says, well, time, of course, is relative. What are you going to see as this person, as this astronaut gets closer? Well, as it happens, what happens is the observer, who's looking through the telescope, will see the astronaut's watch slowing down. So the second hand on that watch will get slower and slower and slower.
Right.
Until
relatively, like relative to the guy holding the telescope, the second hand will be slower and going slower and slower.
Right. Now, of course, from the astronaut's point of view, there's nothing wrong with his watch whatsoever. It's totally fine and it's going at normal speed, right? Other than the fact that it's going to get ripped to shreds the moment it goes through the black hole, but let's not worry about that. So anyway, what happens is when the astronaut actually crosses the event horizon, the observer will literally see that watch freeze. The second hand will stop. So as far as the observer's concerned, our astronaut chappie is frozen in time.
Oh,
right?
Stuck frozen, not moving, and the watch stays.
Exactly. Now, what Hawking says is, he says, now put yourself in the astronaut's shoes and imagine you as the astronaut also have this rather fancy telescope that now you've got it pointing back at the Earth. And you can actually see what's happening on the surface of the Earth. And remember, from your time frame reference, everything's fine. There's nothing wrong with your watch. You know, you're happily heading towards this black hole.
Oblivion.
But what? Yeah. Well, there's no changing back either, unfortunately. Anyway, what do you see? What do you see on Earth? Well, as you get closer and closer to this event horizon, Can you guess, you know, what's going to happen? Is basically he sees the Earth or events on Earth
speeding up.
So everything that he sees on Earth is happening faster and faster and faster. Of course. And
right.
Until such point when he crosses the event horizon, and this is the really interesting bit, he sees all of eternity go by. Like, everything that's going to happen just whizzes by. He sees it all happen. And this I find rather amazing. This is just incredible. How can this be? It's a very intangible notion to humans, for which time is not a relative thing. Time is an absolute thing. How can time be relative? And now, this sounds all very fanciful, and, you know, what does it mean to you and
it,
I, right?
It's certainly, passed through my head in like speed
but
of light.
Now, and this is the genius of Einstein is that actually again I was reading this in the Scientific American magazine, this article in Scientific American, and it's actually an article on time travel, which we can leave for another day, but this is actually observed on the Earth. The effect of gravity on time is observed on the Earth. And whenever you've taken a transatlantic flight where your aeroplane is 5 miles in the sky or however high it goes, same thing. The clock on the plane is going slightly slower than the one on the Earth. And as a matter of fact, everybody who travels in an aeroplane is actually going forward in time, I believe, by a few nanoseconds. Right, so you can have to do a heck of a lot of flying before you actually go into the future any worthwhile amount. But so we do actually observe it. It's very small, but within the accuracy of the clocks that the physicists have, it can be measured.
If I remember correctly, I mean, we are tech guys here, right? The GPS satellite up in the sky, I think they have to
spot
adjust
on
for relativity, right? Otherwise, their clock
spot
would be
on
screwed
spot
up.
On. You know, that was the exact next thing I was going to talk about. This Einstein's equations that govern how time is affected by gravity are taken into consideration in the GPS. And as a matter of fact, if they were not, the readings could be out by the order of a few kilometers. So it's actually very significant, and it, you know, everybody has come across GPS, and everybody uses it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Everybody, but you know, it's gathering popularity, and without this taking into account the effects of gravity on time, the system would not work. We're going from what is effectively a very intangible notion here, which even I can't grasp in my mind, to something that without knowing that, these modern systems would not work properly. So, fascinating stuff. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's cool. And maybe some other time we'll talk about if I remember right, and you also mentioned, right, there's also an experiment that was done recently about time travel. They were able to go ahead.
Yeah, there's you know what, there's lots of topics here on related to this for future discussion. There's quantum entanglement that I can spend a couple of minutes on. There's string theory that I can spend couple of minutes on. There's dark matter and parallel universes, and why physicists are no longer saying parallel universes are a science fiction. it's quite interesting what the physicists are talking about these days, but for another day.
But that's neat. I mean, that's our whole thing about our lunchtime tech talk, right? We talk about anything under the sun.
Oh yeah,
and
name it.
That's the cool bit.
You name it.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Go on to next topic then.
Great.